Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fair still the shines purer than all the angels ever can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations,
Thank you, men. I trust that the Lord Jesus is fair in your sight. Fairest Lord Jesus. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11. We'll be considering verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. As we've been looking through the book of Hebrews, and especially now in Hebrews 11, this great faith chapter of the Bible that's presenting some of that great cloud of witnesses that have gone before, whose lives can give us an example of true Christian faith. This chapter helps us to see faith being played out in the lives of individuals and reminding us of the various ones who have gone before. Their lives are a demonstration of true faith. They're given to us as a picture of what does faith really look like when it's lived out in the life of an individual. We've noted in this chapter that their faith was not always a perfect faith, but that at times it needed to be strengthened, it needed to be matured. We saw that even here in dealing with Abraham. And as we look ahead and we think of Jacob who is mentioned here in the next verses as being of faith, Isaac and Jacob. Jacob didn't start out as a man of faith. Jacob was kind of a rascal. But God dealt with his heart, and God dealt with him to where he is mentioned here as a man of faith. So as we have seen, and we're looking at Abraham, and we know what's been true of Abraham that we're presently studying. Last week we looked at Abraham's household And we noted the effect that one man's faith has upon his household and even on further onto us today. We saw that with Sarah. We saw it, and we see it in 20 and 21, as we noted with Isaac and with Jacob. But today, as we look at the faith of Abraham in his last years, his faith in God is put to what appears to be an extreme test. Abraham demonstrates a true biblical faith in God. Just as to make some comments before we look at that, let me let you know that Abraham in this was not being tempted by God to sin. We're told in the book of James, the 12th and the 13th verses of the first chapter, when it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. But let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Abraham was being tried by God to reveal his genuine faith. What is true faith in God? We found that described to us in the first verses of this chapter that we have referred to as we've gone along. But I'd like us to see that first verse of chapter 11 and take this verse, description of faith, and then in the light of what that says, look at Abraham's tested faith. That first verse of chapter 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." It said there that "for by it the elders obtained a good report," and we'll see that this was here true of Abraham. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we looked at that passage of Scripture some weeks back, we noted that our faith is not an empty, I hope faith, but our faith has that with which it is based upon. The substance of Abraham's faith was God. God spoke. God had spoken to Abraham. He had revealed himself to Abraham, where there was no doubt that this was God that had spoken to him. Abraham knew that God had spoken. And Abraham had the promises of God. God had made specific promises to Abraham, and we've looked at those promises. We've seen that as we've gone through. God had given his word of what he would do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The basis of Abraham's faith was God. And God's word of what God had spoken. He had specifics of what God had given. As we think of that, I think it's important for us today to recognize that God has revealed himself to us. He has very carefully given his word. He's given his word that we might know him, that we might know what his will is, that we might follow in his will, even as the book of Hebrews began in the first chapter, saying, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things and by whom he made the worlds. Even as the substance of Abraham's faith, the substance of things hoped for, that he was looking ahead to was based upon God. It was based upon God's word. That is what we have. We base that substance of our faith is our God that is. We believe that he is, that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith is in God. God who has revealed himself to us in his word. We are not left to have to question where our faith lies. And the question is, do I have the faith in the right thing? Because it's based in God and it's based in his word. As Abraham, the substance of Abraham's faith, the substance of what he was hoping for, it was in God's word, yes. And God had said that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. Remember, God had come to Abraham, and God had changed his name. He changed his name from Abram, which meant just an exalted father, to Abraham, which adding a couple letters there, but it changed the meaning of his name to being a father of a multitude, a chief of a multitude. He let him know that you're going to have a child. And of that child, there's going to be a multitude. In fact, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in thee. And as we looked through the scriptures that we've compared and went back into the Old Testament, you've seen that the Lord revealed, no, in Abraham, it's not going to be of Hagar or of Ishmael thy son. We looked at it and we saw how they made their own plans to try to make God's promises come to pass. We don't need to try to make our own plans to make God's promises come to pass. That was part of that time of the growing and maturing faith of what Abraham needed, and Sarah as well. No, he had revealed that there would be one called Isaac that would be thy seed. One that would come of Sarah. Remember that he changed Sarah's name from Sarai, meaning princess, to one who was a noble woman, to Sarah. There is that the promises were to Sarah, that from her, not just to Abraham, but those promises were to Sarah as well. The nation would rise from her seed as well. It would be from her and Abraham that they would have a son and whose name would be Isaac. And God identified her son, yes, that it would be born, Isaac. Genesis 17:19, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. The verse before us says, Abraham, when he was tried, offered Isaac, and he had received, and he that had received the promises. Isaac was the son of promise that God had promised. The promise was received. Sarah conceived in her old age. Abraham, who no longer, as well as his wife, had the ability to have a child, God gave to them a child. Isaac was born. They followed God and they called him Isaac. They had their lifelong dream that seemed to have been shattered by their age and their inability to have children. And God had fulfilled that part of that dream. God gave them Isaac from Sarah, their son. And they raised this son for the Lord. They raised this son for the Lord. We see that in Isaac. There's not a lot that is said about him, but we can observe even as Isaac is dealt with in the passage that is before us. As we go back into the Old Testament, we read there in Genesis when Abraham took Isaac, he told him, "We're going up to sacrifice." Isaac was there. Isaac was looking for the lamb. He was looking for the sacrifice, and where is it? He knew. He understood. There's not much that is said, but we also see Isaac allowing himself to be bound and put on an altar. Isaac was raised as a child of faith. He had learned at his father's and his mother's knees. He embraced for himself the faith of his father. He too believed God. And so we see in this particular passage, and as we would look, and we mentioned last week from this 11th chapter where in the 20th verse, it just very simply says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob." When Isaac, looking ahead to that which God had promised. You know, many parents fail at this point, raising their children for the Lord. Especially, it seems like, when that long-awaited child comes. Oh, I can't discipline him. He's just too precious. The child is, that long-awaited child is often spoiled. Long-awaited child is often given everything he wants, and he's raised as a selfish child, thinking that the world revolves around him. What a blessing it is to see Isaac raised as a child of faith. Again, there's not much that is said here about that childhood, but we see the results. We see that honor of his father, and we see that is taking place. Oh, may the Lord help us to rear our children according to his word, to raise them up in that nurture and admonition, that discipline and admonition of the Lord. May God give us godly children. Raise your children according to the scripture. Give them over to God. Many raise their children for themselves. They won't give them over to the Lord. May the Lord give us grace and wisdom in the rearing of our children. And those of you who are grandparents like I am, be careful that I don't spoil my grandkids. You know, sometimes we can get soft and be part of that spoiling process instead of part of that process to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, for you, embrace the faith for yourselves. Your parents being great of great faith does not impart that faith automatically to you. You have to embrace that faith yourselves. You can't just depend upon mom's and dad's faith. It must be yours. So you must take God's word. You must see that God is the substance should be of your faith. His word should be the substance of your faith, not just your parents. Parents, even as their children are young, they must understand that. You must help them in their understanding. The substance of things hoped for. Yes, it was in Isaac that God had promised that the blessing would come. What would be the human objections to God's command? Just looking at it from the human standpoint. Especially here, when we look in this passage. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, this was here to test, to show that his faith was real. He offered up Isaac. Abraham was asked to give Isaac up as a sacrifice to God. You know, Abraham could have responded with his own reasoning instead of in faith. How would you have responded if you were in Abraham's stead? Examine how you would have responded by comparing other responses that you've given when you've had a clear command of God. When you've had a clear command of God, you know, here's what the scripture says. How have you responded in that? You know, some today would say, well, I've got to put my family before God. Many children have been taught that they are more important than God. Many family things take priority over a simple obedience to God's word. That's the human response. The human response to what we know has been commanded. Well, I mean, certainly, could not Abraham have said, "Now, wait a minute, Lord. Isaac, our only son. Hey, he comes before you, Lord. You promised him, right? You can't ask me that." Or sometimes our response is, well, you know, God only requires a portion. Certainly proportionate giving is given to us as a guide, right? But God wants your whole heart, right? We're told that we should be, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means putting it all on the altar. David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. We're told, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But our human response is many times, instead of, Lord, here is all of me. Sometimes our human response is, I'll give God a portion. I'll give God a little bit. He can have a little bit. That's okay. But Lord, don't ask at all. I think of the story I heard of the little boy that was there when the offering plate was passed. He didn't have any money to put in, but he asked him to put the plate down, and he got up and stood on the plate I'm giving myself. You'll have a hard time getting up on the offering box over there on the side. And I don't know I've heard that story for years. I don't know the source of it. But the reality of what God desires for us, that's what God wants. He wants us, I give myself, all of me. Certainly Abraham could have reasoned in his human reasoning, saying, Lord, you're asking too much. He could have just said, Lord, that's just not reasonable. Sometimes, and I've used the phrase many times, was saying, Lord, I know what you say, but... But in my situation, that just doesn't work. Well, it'd be the same thing as saying, Lord, it's unreasonable what you're asking. Man's mind is put above the mind of God. The creature is placed above the Creator. Paul gives the verse in Romans where he says, Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast you made me thus? But that really comes down to the substance of what we hope for is really not God, but it's something else. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance is God Himself. The substance is in His Word. And I believe we see here in this, we don't see Abraham arguing from the human standpoint. You go and you read the account, what you see Abraham doing is just packing things up and getting ready to go do what God's asked him to do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That substance being God Himself. God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to take Him at His word and place all that we have on that. I see this being revealed in Abraham in this passage of Scripture. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the second part of that first verse, chapter 11. It is the evidence of things not seen. When we looked at that passage of Scripture, I pointed out that word, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence, it's the confidence. It can be translated to confidence. It's confidence in those things that we cannot see. You see, Isaac was the promised seed. Isaac was the promised seed when Sarah and Abraham had not had that child. When their bodies were, as the Scripture says, as dead, when it comes to any ability whatsoever to have children. But there was the evidence. He had the faith in what he could not see. He had confidence that God was going to give Isaac, whom he had not seen, a wife. He had confidence that Isaac would live to produce children. He had confidence that God would raise a nation through them. It was all based upon confidence in God's unseen promises, something that he could not see from his eye. It was a walk by faith and not a walk by sight. to have that kind of a confidence in something he couldn't see. It was a confidence in the omnipotence of God. Human reasoning would eliminate obedience to such an unreasonable command. Human reasoning would just have said, that's unreasonable, Lord. You promised that from this boy was going to come a nation. And now you're asking me to give him up. But faith looked beyond what was seen. Faith looked beyond what was seen to the place where Abraham believed that God was going to perform what he said through Isaac, even though he was asking that Isaac's life be taken. How could he do that? I think we see that in verse 19. He said he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham believed God could raise the dead. Abraham believed God could raise the dead. Had Abraham ever seen anybody or heard of anybody raised from the dead? I don't think so. It's something that was not done. When you're dead, you're dead. That's what a man said to me one time, a man that was not a man of faith, a man who did not believe the things that I preached from God's word. And he said, when a person is dead, he's dead. That's it. That's the end. You're dead. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know that the dead will be raised. And then men will stand before God in judgment. Or man will stand before God and be received unto him. God has the power to raise the dead. Abraham had never seen, there's no indication of anything. But he knew that God had promised that in Isaac, in this particular son, the man that they were to name Isaac, that from him would come that nation. So he just believed God. And so when you see Abraham on his way with his servants up to the mount to offer sacrifice, do you remember what he says to his servant? You stay here. Isaac and I are going to go on and offer sacrifice, and then we'll come back. We'll be back. How was that going to be? He didn't know, but he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. I mean, you talk about something that's going to test your faith. But Abraham believed God. And he believed that he would be raised even from the dead. Where would such an idea come from? Remember the words that he gave when Sarah laughed and said, am I going to have a son? Isn't it kind of too late? And remember what Abraham heard the Lord say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, Abraham, he knew an omnipotent God, one in whom all things are possible. And if God asked me to do this, okay, but I know that God is going to perform his promises and he can even raise this one from the dead. Had not God already taken him whose body was as well as dead in bringing a child to them? To Abraham and his faith, God's able to do that. All obey God. Let God perform. Let God perform His will and what He says He'll do. It seems like his faith has matured. His faith has come along since they first thought they had to take things into their own hands to have a child. And so Hagar was taken and Ishmael came along. But Isaac was received back. You remember, it says here in this passage, from whence he also received him in a figure. Abraham had as well as done exactly what God told him until God stopped him. And God showed him the sacrifice that he had already prepared that was there in the bushes. God fulfilled his promises. Isaac was returned to him. Isaac went back with him, back down to meet the servants, where they went on down to go back home. The test was over. He was tried. The test was over. Oh, the depth and the character of Abraham's faith that was revealed there on that mount. When we see that faith shining forth as gold that has been tried by fire. What a blessing to see such faith. Faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the substance being God Himself and His Word. It is the evidence of things not seen. Abraham had that confidence in his heart, though he could see it or even know in any way how it could ever happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is omnipotent. He believed that God would bring him back from the dead if his life was taken, because he knew that God had promised from Isaac that seed should be. There we have before us the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like us to go in conclusion this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, we see from another passage of Scripture this faith of Abraham described for us, beginning in the 16th verse. And as we look at that, we'd ask the question, do you have the faith of Abraham? Or maybe to put it another way, that in this passage of Scripture, Abraham is called our father. As we have come to the Lord by faith, and yes, your faith may be small, your faith may need to be strengthened, you need to grow in your faith, yet Abraham is called in this passage the father of us all who are men and women, young people and children, those of you who have come to him by faith. So let's begin in the 16th verse and just follow along and think of some of the things that are said in here. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You see, in that verse, it is taking us beyond the passages of the Old Testament. It is bringing it to what we have read in the book of Rome, in the book of Hebrews, and letting us know that it is that same faith. It is not only that from the Old Testament and the law, but it's that which was the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. See, Abraham believed God, who quickeneth the dead. Abraham believed God, who quickens the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You see, Abraham's faith, this is that confidence in things that are not seen. It is, he called those things, though they're not, as if it's already been, because God's word is that sure. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Who against hope believed in hope. Humanly speaking, all hope was gone. But God had promised. But God had promised. And so he had that true confidence and hope in the Lord. The one that had said, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was 100 years old, yet neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider the fact that I can't have children. Sarah can't have children. It says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What God promises, he's able to perform. We need to be a people, as we have Abraham as our father of faith, to have that confidence that what God promises, he'll perform. And therefore, verse 22, it was as though it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It was a simple faith in God. It was not the actions, but the simple faith in God that was imputed, where God then gave him righteousness. May we be a people that are known for our faith because we believe him, that our faith is based in God himself and his word. And that we have a confidence. That we have a confidence in God. That though it's beyond human reason, what God says, he can do and he will do. Shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, how we thank you for giving to us this example, this picture of faith that's been lived out in the life of Abraham. Oh Lord, help us to be people of faith. That faith of Abraham, that faith that believes in our God. And though we cannot see, yet Lord, by faith, we have confidence in it. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Help us, Lord, to apply this to our daily lives. Help us to be a people that examine and seek to know your word and your will, and then, Lord, to follow it whether it follows human reason or not. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. Now, Lord, by your Spirit, reveal to us areas in our life where we are not walking by faith, but only by sight. That, Lord, we might turn from that human reasoning and sight and turn to trust with great confidence in those things of your word and your promises. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.